हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Anantadas. Among the household of devotees, for some it is appropriate to renounce household life. However, in the material world, the number of these devotees is very small, and association with them is very rare. Yadavdas. What makes a man qualified to renounce household life? Anantadas. Human beings have two kinds of activities, one external activities and two internal activities. In the language of the Vedas, these activities are called parak and pratyak. When a pure spirit soul forgets its original spiritual form, misidentifies himself as a subtle material body of mind, intelligence, and false ego, and exits through the door of the material senses, he becomes attracted to the external world of material sense objects. These are called external activities. When the direction is reversed and the soul goes from the material sense objects to the mind and then to the original form of the soul, then these are called internal activities. As long as the desire to perform external activities is strong, one should stay in the association of devotees and without offense perform these external activities with the idea that this material world is Lord Krishna's property. By thus taking shelter of devotional service to Lord Krishna, in a very short time, the external direction of one's activities becomes reversed, and one's activities are then directed inward. Then one is thus fully engaged in internal spiritual activities. He becomes qualified to renounce household life. One tries to renounce household life before one reaches that stage, then there is the danger he will fall down. Household life is then a school where one gains experience and learns the true nature of the spirit soul. When the education is complete, one may leave the school. So the whole idea is that the living entity in the material world is trying to leave the material world. He's never trying to stay in the material world. Therefore, the devotee's engagement in the activities of this world are simply for the purpose of learning what the material world is. It's not actually meant to that one will become satisfied. Means one is satisfied to know that this is enough, but one can know that one can never be satisfied. So that's basically the school. The school is this one when one learns that the material world isn't a place where one can be happy. Then the one has finished one's studies in the school. That is the basic principle. So then one can move from household life to vanaprastha life. That's the whole idea of this. So when the desire to perform the external activities means when the senses and the sense objects, we want to make them meet like that. So the mind is generally working that direction. Then household life is considered to be the tool by which, in the association of devotees we engage, then we will become purified. Then it will reverse, then we'll go from the senses back to the mind, then mind to the soul. So this is a confusion that was coming up yesterday, is that the mind being the central feature, why would it go from the senses back to the mind to the soul? Because the mind has come out to the senses. The mind is the central feature, because that's where our conditioned identity is with the mind, intelligence, false ego. But then exits from this out of the body into the world through the senses, and then becomes attracted to the sense objects. Attraction to them, then one develops attachment, one engages to fulfill those attachments. So then that becomes the world. So when we can take it back to the mind, and then from the mind then continue on to the soul, then that is the purpose of the whole Grihastha Ashram. The whole Varnashram is for that, because Grihastha Ashram is successful when there's training. As a Brahmacharya there's training, then one is a good Grihastha. Then from that experience of Grihastha, one is able to be a proper Vanaprastha. From that experience, one can be a proper sannyas. That, so the whole, this is the... So household of life is when is then a school where one gains experience and learns the true nature of the spirit soul. When the education is complete, one may leave the school. So the true nature of the spirit soul is as servant of Krishna. Because otherwise we're identifying with this body, so we're not with the mind and the mind with the body. So therefore, our experience of the soul is not actually very deep. Because we're thinking, no, I'm going to get some serious benefit from this. You know, the soul will be get some benefit from the activities of the senses. But then by going through this school, then one finds out, no, this doesn't work like this. This is not going to work. We can see that there's a difference between the soul and the mind, desires of the mind through the senses. So then when that is experienced, one can see the difference between the two. Then one has gained what needs to be gained. Then one can move from the school. Does that make some sense? Yeah. Yeah. Yadadas, what are the symptoms of a devotee qualified to renounce household life? Anantadas, the first symptom is one is not enthusiastic to associate with women. Other symptoms are 2, mercy to all living entities. 3, considering that activities to accumulate money are not very important. 4, endeavor to attain a home and clothing only when they are genuinely needed. 5, faith in Lord Krishna. 6, love and devotion for Lord Krishna. 7, considering that it is not good to associate with worldly people. 8, thinking praise and criticism are the same. Is a double A. Okay, 9, aversion to material activities, and 10, not being concerned whether one lives or dies. These symptoms are described in the following words of the scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.45, 3.25.22, and 11.2.55. A person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes, and understands that all things are situated in Him. Such a sadhu engages in staunch devotional service to the Lord without deviation. For the sake of the Lord, he renounces all other connections, such as family relationships and friendly acquaintances within this world. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who destroys everything inauspicious for His devotees, does not leave the hearts of His devotees even if they remember... Do not leave the hearts of his devotees, even if they remember him and chant about him inattentively. This is because the rope of love always binds the Lord with the devotees' hearts. Such devotees should be accepted as most elevated. When these qualities manifest in a householder devotee, that devotee finds himself unable to continue with his household duties. At that time, he renounces household life. Such a renounced devotee is rare. Association with such a devotee brings great good fortune. Okay. So one is not enthusiastic to associate with women. First, is that the living entities in the material world, because of the desire to enjoy women, means even though the soul is feminine, they want to take up the masculine mood. So that is then becomes a very an inspiration for the living entity. Living entity is trying to enjoy the association with women. So that is the main symptom that one will find. then we can see others as that the symptom of mercy to all living entities. Because the enviousness means if we're going to take up or to give up the association of women means that one has to give up the idea that I'm the controller and enjoyer. So in other words, we have to give up the masculine mood. So if that is there, then that means one has to give up enviousness. And giving up enviousness means that we give up violence. Giving up violence, then one can be kind. So then we'll see mercy to all living entities is coming. Right? Based on this principle that we understand that we're not the controller and enjoyer. We're not the Lord. Then considering the activities to accumulate money are not very important. That accumulation of money then will be used for sense gratification. It means otherwise the mind does not need money, the intelligence nor the ego does not need money, and definitely the soul is not in need of money. So what's in need of money is the senses. So when there's a endeavor, you know, as is important to gain this money and all this, then that means one should then stay in that situation, the household ashram, of which it is a good thing. You develop the, it's for the purpose of expanding, you know, one's facilities and making things comfortable. So for that, one needs money, right? They say in this world, money is the honey, right? That's how the world works. So then it's very important. Of course, one has to differentiate between devotees who are getting money to do preaching activities. That's a different thing. But for one's own needs, then it's not very important. It means it may be done, but it's not very important. Like the sannyasi also will beg or this or that, but it's not so important. He gets something fine, he doesn't get something fine. It's not an important aspect. Then endeavoring to attain a home and clothing only when they are generally needed. One doesn't endeavor to get clothing and facilities if it's not needed. If it's needed, then some endeavor will be there. But if it's not needed, then one will not collect. One will not get more. Then faith in Lord Krishna. I think so. Faith in Lord Krishna. Like that. So we have to have faith. It means we're going to have faith in something. So if we give up faith in the material world, then there must be faith in Krishna. Otherwise, then there's faith in nothing. Right? But the generally what we see is that there's many times the household ashram may give rise to faith in many things that are there, that my facilities will make me happy, the family will make me happy, money will make me happy, so many different aspects will make me happy. But then we see is that the difficulty comes, is that then we're not happy. Right? So then, once we get this idea of understanding the nature of the soul, it can't be happy with all these, then the faith changes, and the faith then switches to faith in Lord Krishna. So for when the devotee, when that becomes the prominent, then this is good. Faith in Krishna, he'll take care. He's the maintainer, he's the protector. Otherwise, then, if we are thinking that I'm the maintainer, I'm the protector, then the household ashram is a good ashram. Though, even in household ashram, the best situation is to understand that Krishna is the maintainer, Krishna is the protector. It's always, always good. It's always, always the best. Then, love and devotion for Lord Krishna. That one must have that affection and devotion to Krishna. Means you have faith, so faith is Jahu Maharaj. A reading from Jaivadharma. In the 7th chapter. So there's a discussion between Ananta Das and Yadav Das. Yadav Das is a Grihastha devotee, and Ananta Das is a Babaji in Godrum, and a disciple of Prajumna. Das Brahmacharya. And so then he's been asked about the qualifications, symptoms of a devotee qualified to renounce household life. So then, So then here we see that in the, he gives ten different qualifications. One is not enthusiastic to associate with women. Other symptoms are mercy to all living entities, considering that activities to accumulate money are not very important. Endeavoring to attain a home and clothing only when they are genuinely needed. And five, faith in Lord Krishna. Six, in love and devotion for Lord Krishna. So we're up to this point. So faith in Lord Krishna and love and devotion for Krishna. So we see here is that these cover the three aspects of one's, you know, basically one's whole consciousness. Because faith then means, and faith comes from understanding, you know, proper understanding. Means the sambandha then creates faith. When we understand Krishna is the Supreme Lord, I am His servant, this material world, the position in the material world is temporary. This creates then faith. And then we see love, that is the goal, prayojan, and devotion is then that activities for that devotion, I mean for that love. So in faith, one performs activities of devotion to develop love for Krishna, or to maintain, or to nourish that love for Krishna. So we see here then is the all these three aspects, the sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, and everything's been transferred to Krishna. So there's no faith in the material world, there's no endeavor for things in the material world, there's no idea that the material world will make me happy. The objects of this world, through the senses, will make us happy. So then that's then another aspect. Well, notice here is that the first one is not enthusiastic to associate with women. That must be there. The others may be in different stages of development. And also these other may also be there in the grihastha devotee. There's not any problem there. Then seven, considering that it is not good to associate with worldly people. So if one has given up women, then naturally giving up worldly-minded people is also quite natural. Because worldly-minded people are generally there for economic development. If you need money, you need other facilities, then you have to associate with such people to get that facility. But if there's no purpose for that money, one does not have to take care of the duties of household life, then it is not needed. Then thinking that praise and criticism are the same, because they're praising the conditioned nature, they're criticizing the conditioned nature, it's nothing to do with the soul. So if they praise us, we'll be humble. I mean, if they praise us, then we might become proud. Criticism, then we'll reduce that. But if one is criticized and one does not think that there is any problem, and one does not become angry, that the same person then prays will not bother them, will not disturb them. It is when we're criticized and then we think, you know, how you can speak like this, then that's when we see that then there is the praise is appreciated. Because we're identifying with the conditioned nature. We identify the conditioned nature, that needs praise, that can be criticized, that can be praised. So when the conditioned nature being criticized because we identify with it, that's the first step when we're coming into this material world. Then that then gives rise to, we can't tolerate the criticism, therefore we find the praise to be proper, appreciated, because we identify with it. But if one does not, the criticism doesn't bother us, therefore praise also, it's not us anyway. Or the body is and the senses, the mind, intelligence, the ego, these are not us. And the abilities of that body are not us anyway, even if it is doing something wonderful. But that's Krishna's ability, not ours. Therefore then these are not important. Then aversion to material activities means that one has no interest in material activities. One is because his faith, love and devotion are to Krishna. Therefore, then it's nice. And then, last one, is he is not being concerned whether one lives or dies. Like that. That is the he doesn't want to die, and he doesn't want to live. He's not concerned either way. If he's alive or dead, it doesn't matter. See, if we're so much worried, oh yes, we want to die, we want to finish up, then there's too much passion. The desire is so much there. And if we want to live, we see that's also a problem. So this is, one is not concerned with living or dying. If we're alive, we do service here. If we're dead, we'll do service there. So it doesn't really matter. So these are the symptoms that are there, that are mentioned. I think also these are based on, that you'll find that in the Manu also gives very similar points. Then the aspect, person advanced in devotional service, this is Bhagavatam 11.2.45. Person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and understands that all things are situated in him. So this kind of vision, then he sees that the Lord is within everyone, and he sees that everything is a form of the Lord. It means his potencies, his energies, are actually what's making this world work. And then if that is seen, then you can understand he's the cause of all causes, and everything is situated in him. It's not separate from him. Then one will always be able to see Krishna everywhere. So this is the analytical approach to gaining this. So therefore, the sannyasa ashram is specifically meant for this kind of vision. Whatever is being done is by the Lord's potency. So whatever we're able to do is by the Lord's grace. Whatever anyone else is able to do is by the Lord's grace. For us, we take no credit because it's the Lord doing it. For others, we give the credit because they're taking part. Right? One may say, well, they're not doing it, so why they should be respected? But on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna already showed that he had killed everybody already. Duryodhana and Bhishma, Drona were already killed. In the 11th chapter in the universal form, they were already finished. But to do that, then Krishna did it through Arjuna. So it's Krishna's potency that did everything. But that's the meaning of pastime. Pastime means that the Lord and the devotees interact. So these various energies are just various situations in which the devotion of the living entity to the Lord can be expressed. That's the whole thing. This is the importance of having faith in Krishna and love and devotion for Krishna. Because otherwise the tendency will be is the impersonal concept. Spiritual will tend to be impersonal. Is that Krishna is doing all these things because he is, how do you say? Because otherwise there is no alternative. There's only Krishna. We've expanded from Krishna. What else is there? We have nothing. We're not in control of anything. So unless the Lord gives, then there'll be no position. Hello, sir. Want to sit here? So this aspect is very important, because if the sannyasi thinks I am the doer, I am the controller, then that's the very consciousness that gets us into the material world. And sannyasa's meaning that we are giving that up so we can get back to the spiritual world. So it becomes a very important element to be able to see that it's by the Lord's potency, the Lord is creating all this. So then, yeah, we were discussing before, is that everything then is the Lord's potency. Yes.
Actually, for devotee or sannyasi, we say that what can be glorified is the desire of
for ourselves.
Without the desire, the activities can be, Krishna will not fulfill it.
Yeah, yeah. Means for others, we see that they had that desire, they took part. So because of their great devotional piety and all that, therefore they do everything nicely, they follow all the different rules nicely, they regard others, they deal in a very proper way, they do nice service. This is all because of their qualification. Therefore then Krishna engages them. For ourselves, even the desire, better we don't give ourselves the credit. Because it's by the grace of Guru and the Vaishnavas, they've planted that desire, so it's not even ours. The seed of bhakti came from them. So, and they're giving the process to nourish it, they are doing the nourishing, simply we are agreeing to take part. Right? But everything else is happening by their grace. That way then one can remain humble. Otherwise the tendency will be to become proud even of that, because my desire is better than someone else's. No, even the desire is given. So in this way then one can remain very humble. So, okay. We see it in others but not in ourselves. Yeah.
I would ask, in, you know, previously you mentioned about criticism, that we shouldn't take it very seriously. But isn't that also a mistake? Should we take criticism, be sensitive to criticism, and think that there must be something wrong, should make some adjustment?
Yeah, yeah, no, that's there. Here's being is the point is that thinking praise and criticism are the same. We think praise is very beneficial, so therefore we think criticism is very beneficial. Like that. That's the... That's where that point would be there. Yeah, sometimes you just... I say, depending on which point you're bringing out, then bring out one point. That's the aspect of what's called vichar. Vichar means is that see something from many, many different angles, like that. So therefore it'll be, if the criticism is there, then it's beneficial. That's the main thing, is that it's not a bad thing, you know. It's good, because then one can see what is going on. But same time, is criticism is seen, sometimes you get criticism that isn't actually for any purpose. You know, just you walk down the road and then people start pointing their finger and go, "Hey, Hare Krishna," you know, those aren't... It's not that they're, it's some instructive. Mm-hmm. From that then, you know, whether they say it's nice or whether they criticize, one doesn't care. Mm-hmm. I think it was more meaning from that.
Mm-hmm. And also the criticism is only related with the activity, not really with the soul.
Yeah, no, no one's criticizing the soul, mm-hmm. you know, like that. Because generally those who criticize don't know the soul so much, or they may have not be so much thinking of it at that time. Because what are you going to see? We can't see it, can't taste it, smell it, touch it. So therefore, then, means they can only go by the symptoms. So they can go by the desire, they can go by the body, the activities of the body, the workings of the mind, the intelligence, the ego. One can go by these symptoms. It's very difficult to go by the soul, because you're not seeing it. But you can see the consciousness of the soul, because that's manifested. Like we discussed yesterday, the soul, you see a living entity, and probably gives the example of the doctor. So we think the doctor is the body, or that's the subtle body. But actually, the doctor is the soul, because it's the soul that thinks it's a doctor. And so therefore, then, there manifests the form in the body. You know, all the senses group around the mind. That then is a form suitable for being a doctor. So the doctor is actually the soul. The body is just an arrangement of the elements to match the consciousness of the soul. Like that. But that's the illusion, is the soul is not a doctor. The soul is not the body. But the idea, the manifestation of the doctor is because the soul thinks it's a doctor.
So what is hovering around the soul, the most close is the false ego.
Yeah. Like that. Like that. False ego. Because there's... basically there's four levels of false ego. So that's the... It means there's the element false ego, which we see manifested as the senses of the body. Like that. That's the two manifestations of it. So that's one aspect of the false ego, is the grosser aspect. Then, subtler than that are then the senses and the intelligence. So this grosser one is in ignorance. That's ego in ignorance. Ego in passion is the intelligence and the senses. Ego in goodness is the mind. What the mind wants, that's to be good. Or what the intelligence can discern and the senses can discern, we identify with that. Then more subtle is what the mind out of that chooses to do. What will be the pleasures and pains for that body, how they'll use the senses to gain that and the intelligence to gain that. But then more settled then is the identification of the soul as servant or as Lord. That's the most. If that's not there, then the others aren't there. So that's then on the platform of, that's on the that's a difficulty on the spiritual platform. The others are just aberrations within the material. They come because of that original. Like that. So that's on the platform of Brahman. That's the Tathasana position. One's chosen this side or chosen that side. Like that. That's the difficulty. So these four aspects of ego should be addressed. One is Sankarshan's the Lord of the identity, the ego and ignorance. Yeah, Prajumna is the intelligence just the body and the identification with that body. You know, I'm man, I'm woman, I'm old, I'm young, I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm like this. That's Sankarshan's, he's the Lord of that. Prajumna is the Lord of the senses and the intelligence. Aniruddha, in the mind. And Vasudev, the ego that I'm, the Lord of all I survey. Like that. So those four states of existence. That's why you see when creation is described, it describes it through the activities of Prajumna, Aniruddha, Vasudeva, and Sankarshan. Because they're in charge of all those different aspects of the manifestation. Like that. So in Pradhan, not Pradhan Mahatattva, when the living entities come into the material world, that's Vasudeva. Because actually they're in the liberated stage. They're on the Tathasana platform. They're not in the spiritual, they're not in the material. They're in both, they're in both. But they have the desire to control and enjoy. Then the creation starts, and then manifest all these others. And then so the other lower levels then manifest.
From the senses and the growth, the sense objects, and like this.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, write that down. So that's why. So therefore, it mentions that one before it was saying is that the soul first identifies with the mind, intelligence, and all these things. It has aversion for Krishna, so that creates the I'm the Lord, right? So that's that Vasudeva ego. Then after that, then they identify with the mind, which is goodness. Then one enters the world through the senses, which means using the intelligence. And then you become attached to the sense objects, which is the grossest. It's the body and whatever else the body is in contact with. So then that's the external life. So internal means then turning that back around. Going back to the platform of the mind, and then from there back to the platform of the soul. And then from there, then one has to go to the point that the soul is servant of Krishna. Then that will take one back to the transcendental, the actual transcendental platform of association with Krishna. Because right? Otherwise then, one can know. Platform of soul means you can understand position of the soul and Krishna and all that as knowledge, as tattva. But rasa may not be very developed. One has to cross beyond that to get to the platform of rasa, relationship with Krishna. But these other things are very essential to get one out of the material world. And then from that position, then rasa manifests. It doesn't manifest before that. One has an idea, like we see Lord Brahma. Then he understood himself as a maidservant of Krishna, but he didn't know the details. Like that. So some idea is understood, but until the liberated platform, it's not fully understood. You can't work it, can't operate it. That's the next question.
Yeah.
Such a sadhu engages in staunch devotional service to the Lord without deviation. For the sake of the Lord, he renounces all other connections, such as family relationships and friendly acquaintances within this world. So staunch devotional service without deviation. So then what we can see is that giving up all ways of seeing things, then he sees everything in connection to Krishna. Then therefore his activities are also going to be everything in connection with Krishna. And then we see, then the last part is Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who destroys everything inauspicious for his devotees. Does not leave the hearts of his devotees, even if they remember him and chant about him inattentively. This is because the rope of love always binds the Lord within the devotees' hearts. Such devotees should be accepted as most elevated. So then here we see also, then the first one is Sambandha, that you understand Krishna's position. Second is Abhideya, one's always situated in staunch devotional service, that means fixed. So it'll be beyond Anartha Navriti. And then the last is that affection for the Lord, because the Lord is there. He loves the devotees and He's there. Even if they don't perform their services nicely, He's there. It's just a matter of us becoming, surrendering to the relationship. So gradually, then that starts to come. Like that. So we see very nicely here is he's described the three levels of the devotee. I mean, there's three aspects of the sannyasi according to these three. So then, when these qualities manifest in a household of devotee, that devotee finds himself unable to continue with his household duties. At that time, he renounces household life. Such a renounced devotee is rare. Association with such a devotee brings great good fortune. So when that householder devotee finds he can't endeavor for more wealth, he can't move with all these materialistic people. It's just he can't do these things anymore. He's not interested in the association with women. Then at that time, then they move from the Grihastha ashram, move into the Vanaprastha, into the sannyas, or through both, whichever is suitable. Because it's just unable to do those things. If one is wondering, should I do or not, but one's still happy to do, then that means then that position may continue for some more time. But when one is unable to continue, then that is there. That doesn't mean one's unable to continue today, something happened, whatever it is, the dog ate your newspaper, and wife yelled at you, and kids, knocked, broke the glass window. So now you're ready to renounce everything, And then tomorrow when the sun comes up and it's a nice day, then, things are different. This means it's just the whole concept of all these duties one is unable to perform, one is unable to relate to. One sees no benefit for oneself. Because the purpose of the doing them is to reverse the path that we've taken. We've taken coming from Krishna, from the pure spiritual platform, then into the polluted spiritual platform, polluted consciousness, into the subtle material, into the gross material. So then we have to turn it around, get back to the platform of the mind to contemplate things, but to contemplate and choose what is spiritual now. See the soul, see the difference, see how Krishna's energies are working. In other words, just like this. Then go to the stage of purifying the consciousness, then back to one's original relationship with Krishna. So that's what it's for. So if one is already situated in this, then the purpose of the Grihastha ashram has been attained. So then there's no more need to perform the duties anymore. But it says such a person is rare. Like that. So it doesn't say that just he's frustrated with household life. It means he's unable to continue doing those. That doesn't mean, okay, we give up this woman and take that woman and then I'll be able enthused to do. This means the whole concept one is unable to do. And that makes it function. Yes.
How does it work? for devotees is good. Devotee doesn't care what he's doing. He's engaging everything in Krishna's service somehow. So doing is not the issue. It's the consciousness involved that is concerned with. So how does one go down in this regard? Because, like, say, one may be happy to continue doing such duties or indifferent to the duty, because considering the situation that may be beneficial for the other person, and if Krishna doesn't arrange that it should change, then go on with it, even though there's nothing there.
It means the first thing to understand, I mean, if one of the aspects in this is that that the important thing is to gain the consciousness that you just mentioned, is that seeing that whatever you're doing is connected to Krishna. But in that we must see that we've in a very high quality way have done that. We may be doing something for Krishna, but is our consciousness, are we taking something from it? You know, it's just like the Marwari, one of the Marwari sayings. You know, Marwari are one group of very, you know, well-situated Indian business communities. So one of them is that you're doing the work, and then you get the benefit of. One will say, what benefit are you getting? You're getting the ghee on your hands. Like, you work with ghee, your profit is what's left on your hands at the end of the day. Right? Something sticks. So then that's what you're getting. You know? So, like that, is that we're doing, but then from that, then people are praising, oh yes, you're doing this service so nicely, you're so great, you're so, you know, advanced, this, that. So that may be that we are making profit off of that. So then that means we're doing the service for Krishna, but still there's still something for ourselves.
Sticky.
Yeah, something is there, you know? Though it may be mostly gone, but still something is there. So there's always that quality, it must be go more and more and more. That aspect is there. And so, and then that other thing is, see, beneficial means in vanaprastha life. It doesn't mean grihastha life. He's saying here, what is necessary to leave grihastha life. Grihastha life doesn't mean that one has to leave the family. It means that the whole point of economic development associated with worldly-minded people to push forward that economic development. You know, the association of women like that. So therefore one sees the wife as the aspect of friend is more there. It's another living entity, conditioned living entity, who is endeavoring for perfection. So the aspect of associating with the woman is not the essential point, like that. The same way is that, that's for the man. And for the woman, that means associating with herself is not important. You know, it means all the little this and that that are very dear to the women, that also is not important. You know, trying to look very beautiful, trying to, you know, all these different things, and, you know, collecting this and that, looking for the security, right? Gain, safety, these things. These are what women want. So then one is not interested in these things. So these points belong to both the men and the women. But it's clearly explained through the men. Because then it's very obvious. Just like you want to describe giving in charity. All four orders can give in charity. But it's most clearly explained through the grihastha. Right? Because the grihastha is endeavoring for economic development. And so therefore naturally they have facilities to give in charity. Right? If you have nothing, then maybe you give in charity. Right? The sannyasi finds himself, someone gives him an extra deer skin, so maybe he gives that in charity to another Brahmin. Okay, nice, but that's not what you would call that something inspiring that all people can take example from. Right? But you hear from you know, and then we hear, okay, Brahmins may have a little bit, you know, Vaishyas have a decent bit, you know, the Shudras may or may not have something, but the Kshatriya has a lot. So therefore, generally when we hear about charity, we hear from the example of great householder kings, their charity. You know, Yudhishthira feeding of the Rajasuya 100,000 Brahmins at its sitting, one sitting. And whenever 100,000 was fed, they'd ring a big bell. And then that bell was heard ringing all throughout the day. So probably in a day, millions of Brahmins would be served prasad. So these are the kind of things that are inspiring. I mean, you hear he's got so much, but how much he's giving away also. How much he's using in this sacrifice. Right? So much is being used. So therefore then we're inspired that, okay, I can give. You know, like that. So that's explained there. Renunciation is explained through the sannyas. Study is explained through the brahmacharya. Grihasthas also study, sannyasis study, vanaprasthas study. But the mood of how to study, what all that, how to gain that knowledge, what's the proper attitude, that is perfectly seen in the brahmacharya. They're the best example, because that is their occupation. Right? To just study. While the grihastha, they study and teach. Right? Like this. But they do that. So each one has its place. Administration. Everybody is doing some administration. Like that. Your rickshaw wala also has to do some administration to maintain his rickshaw. If he doesn't, then he won't have a rickshaw. He has to manage it. But that is not where you would look for inspiration of management. Right? You look to the king. Big management. Business. You look, you know, and economic development. The Brahmin's also going out and in the marketplace, after the market's closed, everybody's left, all the grains are sitting on the ground that nobody wants, he's sweeping those up, taking home. That's economic development. You know? Economic development means you end up with more than what you had. Right? So then, that's there. But that's not what you would be find the inspiration for great economic development. You know? For simple life, yes. For detached life, yes. So therefore, then in here, these qualities that are mentioned here are for everyone. Just like sometimes it is complained, why it always talks about the soul as he? Why it every talk it talks about the perfect person endeavoring for spiritual perfection as he? He should do this, he should do that. You know, why it doesn't say he, she, or it, or the spiritual person, right? You know, like that. Why you make it into gender? You know, you should make it neutral. You know, the spiritual person, and like this kind of thing. You know, like, you know, the chairman, but better is a chairperson, because then it could be man or woman. But this is external. This is completely exiting through the senses and then identifying with what you find there. That ego is in the mode of ignorance. It's the lowest of the egos. So to think that we are this and identify with this, therefore get so enthused about that, then this is the mode of ignorance. It's the farthest, it's the lowest of all the. But the point is why it's given is because the soul in the material world, all of the souls, each and every last soul in the material world, if they're conditioned, thinks they're male. Because male means the enjoyer. Female means the enjoyed. Krishna is the only male. And all his energy is female. We're female, but we think we're male. Therefore, saying he perfectly fits a living entity in the material world. Now, since the soul is not the body, then being male or female is not the issue. It's that the polluted consciousness is there. But because they have exited through the senses, and they may find that the senses they have are connected to a male or female body, then you have to engage those in the Lord's service. So the Lord wants to see the form of male senses used in one way, and the form of female senses used in a different way. That's just the way He likes it. We see in the spiritual world that though all devotees are female, But Nanda Baba is in a male form. Mother Jashoda is in a female form. Nanda Baba is going to act differently than Mother Jashoda. Though they're both female. But they manifest according to the form that is there. Then rasa takes place based on that. So same way in this world, we find ourselves in a form. We're not that form, but that form has a nature. That nature combines with other natures. So we're not the one to say how that nature is, because Krishna created it. Krishna, we didn't create maleness and femaleness. Krishna created it. So Krishna likes males to deal with females and females with males in a certain way. So if we're actually not the body, then we've engaged the body according to what Krishna likes it to be engaged. If we think we are the body, then we complain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Also is a female and male subtle shakti also.
It's all, shakti means female. Mm-hmm. It may carry some of the masculine kind of flavor, but it's not masculine. Energy means that Krishna is unique. See, we think of ourselves, you know, okay, we're spiritual, spiritual realm, spiritual, Krishna is spiritual. But Krishna is not spiritual. Krishna is something else. The living entities, the spiritual world, the devotees, you know, they're one thing, they're spiritual. Material world is material. Krishna is in his own category. He's something else. He's not what we are. You know, he's different. He is male. We're not. Like that. Even when we see the male forms, they manifest certain kinds of male behavior. But they're still not male because they're doing it to please Krishna. The cowherd boys will stand there and say, "Hey Krishna, you know, let's see you wrestle with me. You know, you did yesterday, you lost, now you watch today." You know, these kind of things. It has the male flavor, male cultural flavor, but they're doing it simply to please Krishna because they're female. Like that. So Krishna alone is the enjoyer. Everybody else is servant. Right? Means, what is it? Krishna sakale?
Arsabdhavritya.
Yeah, that arsabdhritya. I can't remember what this
is.
Yeah. Arsabritya. That includes Balaram, Vishnu, everything. They're also servant. Though they're the Supreme Personality of Godhead servant. They're God is servant. But they're servant. Only Krishna is actually the supreme controller, enjoyer. Him alone. One person. All other expansions, they are all servant. So whether they're Vishnu Tattva, they're serving Krishna, or whether they're Shakti Tattva, they're serving Krishna. So only he's male. Like that. So therefore the living entity has to understand that and then switch to I'm female. Because everybody's trying to enjoy women. Women are also trying to enjoy women. Whatever facilities they get, this and that. Men enjoy women from the outside, women enjoy women from the inside. But the focus is enjoying women. Right? The woman needs to get man so they can enjoy their womanness from inside. And the man is looking for the woman so he can enjoy women from the outside. Like that. So women is the thing. So that's why that can even be applied for those women who they also have to give up the desire to enjoy women. Yes.
Attributes. Since we are all feminine by nature, then how can we get rid of feminine nature? It's like,
no,
I
you
know
don't.
It's a perverted reflection, but how...
The reflection is quite close to what's the traditional. What's different is the consciousness. Because in the spiritual world, they manifest the feminine form and nature to serve Krishna. Here it's manifest to enjoy. You know, like that. Same with then the perversion, the masculine nature is done. So one doesn't have to get rid of it. That's the beauty of it. one simply has to detach oneself from it. The attachment to it is the problem. The identification with it is the problem. The thing itself is just the table is going to be a table. Right? Its tableness is going to remain, whether we're Krishna conscious or not. You know, if I identify with the table, my table and all this, and anybody kind of comes too close to the table, watch out for my table, you know, don't scratch my table, you know. Then it's attachment. But if that detachment is there, one is not so worried about it. One takes care of it. You know, whatever is necessary, one does. But one is not overly attached. That is the point. So the feminine nature is there, the masculine nature is there, and that works in a certain way. Therefore, the masculine nature has to be engaged according to its nature. That's dharma. Religion means identifying, acknowledging, and engaging something according to its nature. Right? If you see a horse, if you think it's a cow, you're going to have a lot of problem. If you identify, yes, this is a horse, and then you engage the horse according to horse nature, you know, it pulls things, or you ride it, or it does something, you brush it. And horses have to be brushed. You brush it every day. If you just say, why we should bother with all this, then you're not accepting the horse's nature. Right? A horse has to be brushed. Right? So it has to be engaged. A horse does nothing and you don't take care of it, then they'll get very sick and they'll get very, you know, it'll be very bad for them. So acknowledging it, then it's taken care of. But it's taken care of according to what are the standards set by Krishna. That's the thing. So, therefore, the woman who detaches herself, or the man who detaches himself from the nature, sees the nature, engages that nature, then that is the actual position of advanced devotional service. This is the position, seriously, of the Madhyama. Right? And definitely of the Uttama, but this is the actual platform of the Madhyama. So then, within that, then, but still, that detachment is there, but still the desire to enjoy hasn't been reached yet. That's a finer point. Right? We've come to the platform of soul by this, but then one has to get to the platform of, I am servant. So one may see, I am not this body, it's a male body, a female body, and so therefore it engages in this, it's best situated in these activities or these situations. But one still wants to, one appreciates what one gains from those, the rasa that's gained from it. So therefore one will perform happily those activities because of the rasa that's gained there. You see? While the soul that is not interested in this, then can't do those. This makes the difference. Therefore you can have these great Prajapatis and other great personalities, you know, Yayati and others, and then who are mentioned as great great Rajarshis and Brahmarshis and Devarshis, at the same time as you see them engaged in all kinds of activities, you would think, why Yayati, if he's such a great Rajarshi, why is it he should be happy? Okay, now he's an old man. You know, so why want to trade his youth with his children like this? Because they're still, even though they see those things, they're working purely on religion, still they identify as enjoyer. Does that make some sense?
Yes.
So that's why you can see someone can be very advanced. So one has to be able to distinguish between someone who's on a neophyte level and who has that enjoying propensity, and someone on an advanced level who still hasn't removed that enjoying propensity. You know, but, you know, either is understood it or is in the process of removing it. Like that. So that's why respect must be given, even though externally. That's why viewing everything through the senses and then making the determination based on that is not a very good situation. It's a faulty situation because the senses can be wrong. That's the thing. So you see is that one needs to go deeper than that. One has to go to the mind and then from the mind to the soul. Therefore you can see someone like Bharat Maharaj, his attachment to the deer is because he's situated on the platform of the soul. And he sees that the deer is identifying, like we said before, that it's the soul that thinks it's these things. So the soul is the deer. The body of the deer isn't the deer. The soul is the deer, because it thinks it's a deer. Therefore you have the deer body. So out of kindness to that soul, because in ignorance they think they're the deer, then they will suffer if they're not given deer facilities. So therefore then he tries to create that out of compassion for that soul so that they will not suffer. So his being coming attached to a deer and, you know, everybody else, you know, seeing, oh, so cute, nice deer, because we're seeing the body. The deer body's cute. He's not seeing the body at all. He's seeing that there's a soul who thinks that it's a deer. You know, it's just been born. Mother has just died, and, you know, completely bewildered, you know, wondering how to, you know, like this. So therefore he takes care. Because it's seeing the soul. So therefore he's an uttam. One will ask, how is an uttam? How will he become attached? No, but they're on a different level. But then it may not be completely pure. So therefore he might think he is actually doing benefiting this deer. But actually he's the just the instrument. Or because he's working on that platform, but at the moment of death you're supposed to be thinking of Krishna, not of the kindness you're giving to other living entities. You're supposed to be thinking of Krishna. Krishna actually has used us as an instrument, so the mercy has come from him. We're an instrument, so we shouldn't be thinking about these things. We should be thinking of Krishna. It's like Prabhupada gives a, someone I've heard told the story, that Prabhupada gave the story that there was this devotee in Puri, and his service was to bring water for Jagannath every day for his bath. So he did this through his whole life. And at the time of death, then he was thinking, oh, who's going to bring the water for Jagannath? He didn't think of Jagannath. He's doing the service for Jagannath, but he's not conscious really of Jagannath. He's very, you know, pious in that he's doing these things. So great, great devotional piety is there. But it hasn't matured into actual direct devotion to Krishna. So he was saying that this is not a good standard. You know, one should try to move beyond. Does that make some sense? Is there any other questions? Because Computer G has decided to, you know, take a nap.
Whereas this Uttamadhikari who shows some compassion to other lowly living entity, he is doing it in the platform, like you said, this jiva has attained this body.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to give him some facilities for his peaceful existence.
Yeah, because he sees the dharma of the deer, and he sees the dharma of the attached soul, the conditioned soul. So he knows the conditioned soul is going to identify with a particular mind and senses. Like that. So he sees that. So he's taken that aspect of dharma. And he's seen what is the dharma of a deer. You know, deers are gentle and this and that. So you deal with them as a deer. A dog's something else, right? A deer is different. You deal with a deer, you carry a deer differently, you feed a deer, you deal with it differently than a dog.
More gentle.
Yeah, more gentle. You know, like that. Yes, more gentle. Just automatically. So he's seeing dharma. But in this, unless you have to be careful, but still you have to go to the Supreme Dharma. You always have to keep that in mind. You can't get distracted into other aspects of Dharma. Because Dharma is very, very dynamic. There is very big. Everything in the world you can pull within Dharma. Because everything has a nature. How you deal with the flame, that's Dharma. Because the flame has a nature, you know. It's just the end is more hot, it burns. So therefore you want to deal with that, you can't deal directly. You have to use something else to deal with it. That's understanding the Dharma. If you just try to stick your finger and burn your finger, means you don't know Dharma. You don't know what is the nature of that.
The nature of each particular body, being male or female, even though given by Krishna, we have to perform according to the nature, otherwise we'll become
Yeah.
Rasa Bas for the same.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's why you see the modern culture is just Rasa Bas. Nothing works. Marriages don't work. Child relationships don't work. Teacher students don't work. You know, the citizen and the authorities doesn't work. Nothing works because it's Rasa Bas. They're not accepting what is the Dharma of the nature. While in one breath saying, "I'm not this body, Prabhu," at the same time is then one is demanding according to a certain nature, external. So identification with it, but at the same time is one wants to use it how one wants. So this is not Dharma. Because one is not seeing from the platform of what is the nature of this body? What is the nature? What is the nature of this body, other bodies, anything? Anything in your possession, what's the nature of the house? You can't not take care of the house and it will do well. House has to be maintained, has to be cleaned, has to be painted. You know, you have to fix the windows, you have to fix the putty. You know, you can't let the windows blow in the wind or they'll break. If you do, it means you don't know the nature of a house. So Dharma simply means what is the nature of something and engage it accordingly. But how that is established by Krishna. That's the thing. He sets the standards on how you should take care of something. So that's the difference. The modern religions touch on a few points. Okay, before you eat, before you go to rest, you know, in sometimes, you know, once a week, and in situations of danger, then you pray to God. Other times you don't have to. You just enjoy yourself and do whatever you like. You know, a few things. When you deal with others, okay, you should be nice. Right? If somebody's rough, well, you should tolerate. Like that. You know, a few other things are there. Like that. You know, don't steal or don't this and that. And so then, that's it. That's as far as they go. So they've caught the religion on those points, and that's all. But what about everything? The Vedic things is why just only on these few times you think of God for support. It should be every moment you're thinking of God for support. Why is it only occasionally then you'll chant, you know, the Lord's name? You should chant all the time. Why is it only your food you're offering? What about your clothes? What about your possessions? What about your body, your mind, your words, everything? Everything should be offered. So how to offer that? That is there. You know, how to keep your house. You don't find any details of that in any of the scriptures of the world, basically. Some restrictions on cooking, but otherwise, how you keep your house, whether it's clean or not, or that, it doesn't get into that. You know? Your other personal hygiene doesn't get much into that. Some, a little bit here, a little bit there. You know? I don't think that any of the, at least the, you know, Judaic Christian, I don't think they mention taking a bath. You know? I don't personally remember. Maybe there is. I mean, there's examples of people doing it, but there's not a rule that you have to take a bath.
The baptism once. The baptism.
Baptism.
And they take baptism in the river.
Oh, baptism. Yeah, but that was started later, but that's coming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, after. So that's baptism. Okay, so once in your life, at least you should take a bath. But, you know, it won't be made a major point. If you have, you know, thousands of sheep and you're walking through a desert, you know what I'm saying?
With a camel.
Yeah, yeah. So these are the people that this is being spoken to. So therefore, bath may be, you know, not very realistic for such a person. You know, you wander in the Sinai desert for 40 years, so bath may not be the greatest, the highest priority, you know. So these kind of things, but you see the Vedic gets down to everything. You know, how you deal with your hair, how you deal with your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your tongue, your teeth, your skin, you know, your clothes. What condition of the clothes, what's clean, what's unclean. You know, if you, damp cloth is not considered clean. You've washed it, but it hasn't fully dried, it's not considered clean. So if you put it on because it's damp, it'll collect dust. like this. So all little details like that to attain certain things that are very valuable for upliftment, cleanliness, non-violence, respect of others, you know, sense control, service, all these different things. So they're all fine details that add to all this. Therefore, the Vedic culture has so much. You know, nowadays we said, oh, that's all Vedic, doesn't apply now. It applies today as much as it did a million years ago. Fire still burns. Women still have the babies. It's not the men have the babies. You still put food in your mouth. You don't stuff it up your nose. Nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing has changed. Material energy works exactly the way it always did. Simply, the only thing that's changed is people acknowledging what is the actual nature of things or not. That's the only thing that's changed. Even though they talk so much about recognizing and being sensitive and gentle and this and that, they're not. They're most impersonal. But sensitivity to what? The way the person in their own speculation has decided that they're going to act. That you have to be tolerant of and sensitive to. Not that there's a standard by which they should act. That's the thing. The man goes out with a machine gun, shoots everybody in the market, and then there's going to be somebody there who says, no, you have to consider, you know, he's gone through...
He was a child.
Yeah, when he was a child, he was abused, and he was this, that. So how can you be so rough with him and tell capital punishment? He must have... You know. But there has to be a standard. Otherwise, then anybody can create any standard. Yeah, that's the problem. So therefore, easiest thing is let God establish the standard. And then there's no problem. Then according to the individual, they can take it farther or less. The detail. They can go deeper or less deep into religion. That's all. That is the point. So it's not a whole mystical thing. It's a scientific thing. What is the nature? It's science. You know, that a baby, you know, can't walk, can't talk, can't do anything. You know, so therefore, you know, you have to take care of it. You know, it's not like the baby when it first comes out of the womb, it goes, well, you know, I'm very hungry and so I really like to drink milk. You know, it's just, you have to know what is the nature. Otherwise, you won't know how to take care of a baby. So, therefore, you see, you know, the grandmothers, they know the nature, so therefore they're so expert. Mothers are quite good. New mothers don't really know so much unless they have been working with all those others, you know, since they were young.
Oh, my God, now I remember the Western civilization, they don't know even this simple principle. Why a woman has a breast is for feeding the kids. They don't want to breastfeed and they carry all these bottles and the kids pass diarrhea and vomit all the time because the milk is so processed. It's powder, it has to be mixed with water and they have to have a heater for the water. And the people who has this ebb and flow and all this making just big money and keep pressing the thing that is not so good.
They're smart because they know people aren't so smart. Like that. A sucker is born every moment. So they know the nature of a sucker and they exploit it, make money. So they're knowing. That's why they're successful and the others are not. And the kid doesn't grow up nicely. They've seen, studies are there. Those children who are breastfed, their mentality is very different from children who are never breastfed. Like if they're breastfed minimum 6 months, their mentality is so different than a kid who is not. Like that. I mean, the scientific studies are there, but these things, you know, it's not good business.
It's free.
Yeah, like that. Plus, it's then the other things. If you really want a lot of breast milk, then the women have to eat properly. If they eat properly, then they won't fit into your $2,000 Gucci dress. So therefore, not only that, you won't make money off of them for all the dietary supplements and all the slimming agents and all those things. Yeah, smoking, keeps them thin. All these things. So you don't make money. Because for them to feed breast milk means they have to eat properly, means they're not going to fit into that dress. They're going to look like a human woman rather than some kind of, who knows what kind of tigress. like that. So therefore, it's that's why the kings have to know what is the nature. The kings know the nature of a Vaishya is they'll do anything to make money. Therefore, they see that they only sell things that people need. The Vedic civilization, they can do business. Business is not controlled in the way, it's capitalism. It works purely on capitalism. But they're not allowed to sell anything that people don't need. You know, so they can't sell cigarettes and, you know, all these different things. They can't advertise. You know, because people need the stuff they need, you don't have to advertise. You know they need it. They need cloth. They'll go to your shop and buy it.
Well, they will take better than another race if they will be able to do that.
Means?
You say that in Vedic culture was not allowed to do certain things. But if someone really wants to do it, will take birth in another
race. They'll take birth now, you know, in this age where they can do any old nonsense and get their rights to do it. In the Vedic age, it wouldn't be allowed. They'd be immediately corrected. Because one's nature, you have the right to follow your needs of your nature, but you can't impinge upon others' rights. You know, it's just like I have a right to the airspace around my face. So absolutely no one has the right to be in my face. It's not their right. They take it as their right, but that's going beyond their rights. Their rights is their face, not my face. So all this in your face is demoniac. It's just animalistic. It's not human. It's absolutely not human life. Humans aren't in each other's face. Human realizes I have my face, he has his face. Therefore, you give the proper space between them. That face I respect. That face I'm kind to. I'm not in anyone's face. That's a modernistic, animalistic, impersonalistic attitude.
Egotistic,
yeah. What kind of istics? You can put a long list of istics after it. So the whole point is you realize you have a nature, but that's what religion is knowing your nature and knowing the other person's nature. And knowing how those two combine. If you don't know that, you're not very intelligent. You're not educated. Right? It's not. I mean, someone who deals with something properly, you'll say, this person's educated. You know, if someone goes up and opens the computer properly and pushes the button properly and makes it work, then you'll say they're educated. They know that you don't roughly deal, you don't come up and push on and bang on it or pour your coffee on it or, you know, stuff like that. You'll say this person's uneducated. I like to pour my coffee on my keyboard.
It's my right.
It's my right. Yes, but the computer also has its right. If you want it to work. You know? So that's the thing is that this rights, yes, everyone has their rights, but everybody else has their rights. And your rights can't impinge upon another's rights. And who sets the standards for what is right and what's not? God does, not us. How we can trust that I'm going to say what's proper for me? Because we see people are saying what's proper, doing whatever they like, and the whole social system is going to hell. Kids are being screwed up, everybody's being screwed up. Mothers and fathers want to do whatever they want, but the kids are the ones that get screwed up. They have the kids because they're attached to them. They don't love them. Otherwise, they would follow what's the nature that kid needs. The kid needs to have the mother at home, not that the mother's down at the spa. Not that the mother's walking around in this miniskirt. The kid doesn't need that. But the mother does that. It's her right. I want to be myself. I'm an individual. Yeah, you're an individual, but why have a kid? He's an individual also. So then the kid is like one of your possessions. You know, I have a dress, I have a bag, I have a car, I have a kid, I have this, I have that. It's just one another thing on the list. And that's the way they're dealt with, is things. Men deal with women as things, women deal with men as things, both men and women deal with kids as things. So therefore, no, the nature is not understood. So the Western culture has not a clue of what's religion. What is ritual? what is to be done, what is not to be done. Doesn't have a clue. Few people do, and you'll find that the people who do, they have successful marriages, they have successful businesses, they have success, their children grow up nicely. You'll find the principles they follow are much closer to what we follow. Much closer. Maybe without the detail or the particular flavor, but it'll be close. Because they're eternal principles. The generally follow the people that do are standing on a religious tradition. Like that. You know, Christian tradition or Muslim or Judaic or something, they'll be there. And from that, that regulates their life, so therefore they deal with each other in a more human way. But this whole new age, just I do whatever comes into my mind, it's just, even animals are better than that, yes. Develop?
Humility.
Generally, a devotee doesn't worry about rites, because rites are something of this world, and if you want to wait around for rites, then you may have to take birth again.
And rites are
his need. His need. Need is first he should be educated what actually is his need. Then, one should then see what is the proper way that's been designated to get the need, because Krishna has identified the needs and the process to get that need. Like that. You know, it's just like, okay, let's take example of that. The body needs food. Now there's designated ways we can get that food. We don't just run into a restaurant and grab everything there and stuff it into our mouth as quick as we can and run out before they catch us. That's not a recommended way. It works. But it's not recommended, you know, like that. So therefore, everybody has their way of getting their food. Brahman by teaching, or by doing puja, or by begging, gleaning from the fields. These are recommended. Kshatriya by taxes, Vaishya by business, or taking care of cows, or farming, banking. Vaishya by helping the others. You help the others, they need that help, they will take care of you. So this is how one will eat. Then what one should eat, that is also there. We want to eat, but then one should eat, you know, what has been offered to Krishna. And then what can we offer to Krishna? Then there's some rules on that. And so you put that all together, then you can decide, okay, today I'll make some khichdi or rice and dal or, you know, something, and then I'll offer that to Krishna, and then I'll eat that. And how I got the money to get that, then that is according to one of these four ways. So therefore one has to be educated to know what one's rights are. Just because one gets fired up and starts yelling and screaming doesn't mean that that's our rights. Because the thing is how many people actually understand the rights that they're yelling and screaming about? Right? One or two people got up there, figured it out, they had the brains, then they started propagating it, and then everybody else says, yeah, that's right, but do they understand why? You know, save the blue whale. Why the blue whale? You know, why not the, you know, why not the you know, the shark, or why not the cow, or the you know, the spider, or you know, the snake, or I mean, why the blue whale? You know, like that person was into the blue whale. Who knows why? You know, there's you know, so many, basically hundreds of species of life disappearing every day, but you know, people will save this one. You know, why not all of them? You know what I'm saying? So generally most people are even just parroting stuff that they've heard. They don't know why, even. So therefore the intelligent person sees what is the nature, what does God say about this nature? And then what are the rights of that nature? You know? So it's just like there. It's like a woman can expect to be, the right is they must be respected. But along with that comes the responsibility to perform their duties. Why are they respected? Because they're good mothers, they're good wives, they're good daughters.
They do this.
Yeah, they perform their duties. But if they're just going to be madhouse women, and then they're going to be respected, who cares? You know? I remember one woman, she was complaining about how the men, you know, don't treat equal this, that. Then in the next breath, she was complaining about how men, she got on a bus and nobody'd get up and give her a seat. Equals equal. You want to be a man, then you stand. The men stand, the women sit down. You know? So if it's equal, then the men get to sit down also. Why they should get up for a woman? Women don't get up for men, so men should, that's equal. So it's just they didn't take what they want, that's all, here, there. Men the same. They exploit the women. Parents exploit the children. Like that. You know, when they like them, they're with them and talk to them and get something out of them. And when they don't, they stick them in front of the television, give them tons of toys. You know, computer games. Just waste their life. So that when they want, they're there, that they can see them, talk to them, pat them on the head, and everything. And very selfish.
Regarding the point of humility, yeah.
Humility is that it's not ourselves, so this is the duties we should perform. So what good or evil comes from performing those duties that are accepted? Like Yudhishthir, he performs his duties as a king. In that, he's humiliated so much time in the gambling match and in the house of lack. All these things. Still, he's doing his duty. You know, he's maintaining his honesty. He performs his things and bad comes. Just as bad comes, good comes. You don't ask for the bad, it comes. You don't ask for the good, good will come. So humility is just, this is the duty, we do it for Krishna. And even then, the abilities within that duty, it's not us. Krishna is giving. Krishna is giving the ability. You know, and that's coming from also just previous activities. For the devotee, then Krishna is personally arranging. Maybe he doesn't directly give it, but he personally arranges it. Maya may give it, but it's by Krishna's arrangement. It's not arrangement of karma. Like that. Is that? Okay. Yes, something?
I was the one who said that we have to find out from Krishna what is the rights. I think the only time he mentions, at least in the Gita, is you have the right to perform your duty.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's right.
You don't get the result.
Yeah, the result's not yours. So yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, okay, that's nice.
So Krishna. What is the Sanskrit part?
Karmanyeva dikadaste. So that's you have a right to perform your duty. Ma phaleshu kadachana. That's interesting. Is that you go into any Hindu's place, they'll always quote that verse. You know? Especially if you mention devotional services, they have to do their duty, you know? But they never mention the second line. Never mention that second line. Right? I have a right to do my duty, yes, but then the fruit's not yours. That part they don't want to know about. Ma karma phalahetu abhur. Never think you were the cause of the results. Yeah, and then you're never the last
person.
Not being attached to a mother not wanting to be a mother. She wants to have the child and not perform the duties. A man wants a woman, doesn't want to perform the duties, doesn't want to take care. You know? The administrator wants the authority but won't take the responsibility. You know? Like this. These, you know, we'll take the glory but we'll not take the blame. These are not doing, being attached to not doing your duty. Like Arjuna, he wanted to go to the forest. That's being attached to not doing his duty. So that's to be rejected. That's absolutely, that's sinful. Then thinking the results are yours or you're the doer, that's probably uses the word capricious. Would it be a different word for capricious?
Whimsical.
Huh? Whimsical. Okay. That's whimsical work. And you have a right to perform your duty. That's piety. That's profit. So in that verse he explains the three kinds of work. One is pious, properly situated. Another is pious, but does it whimsically. Because he just, when he wants the result, he does. When he doesn't, he doesn't. You know, doesn't act. And then one who acts against the duty, or takes up another's duty because he wants the results of that one instead of one's own. That is then sinful.
The one who performs his duty automatically gives rights to the others.
You have to. It means your duty means that you have to do these things. You know, you're a son, you have to respect the parents, you have to respect the guru, you have to respect the other authorities. Grihasthas have to respect the sadhus. Sadhus have to respect the grihasthas. Everybody has to respect the kings. They all have to respect the Brahmins. By the Brahmins, they're all getting knowledge. By the king, everyone's being protected. Therefore, Samitya Rishi, he was chastising Sringi, that you cursed the king to die, but it's because of the king performing his duties righteously. Therefore, we're in a peaceful position to perform our duties. If he didn't, there would be thieves and demons and everybody coming and bothering us. We couldn't sit here and peacefully just live off the foam that the calves, you know, throw out of their mouth when they drink milk. They wouldn't be. You'd have to go do something else. You have to go get a job because everybody say you're a lazy bum. You know, so he can do that because of the king. So you destroy the king, then everything goes. Same time as how does the king know the duty unless he's been trained by the Brahmins? You know, there's going to be no money in the whole social structure unless the Vaishyas are making it. Kings don't make money. Brahmins don't make money. Shudras don't make money. Vaishyas make money. So all the economic development comes from them. That's why they call the stomach. You know, but they have to give taxes. They have to give charity to the Brahmins. They have to support their assistants. And they have to give tax to the Kshatriyas. So that way then the whole system becomes nourished. And everybody's doing the work because the Shudras. Shudras don't do the work. The businessmen and the kings, so you can't. The king can't run without, you know, thousands and thousands of Shudras. His police force is Shudras. His army basically is Shudras. Guys on elephants and chariots, those are Kshatriyas. Everybody else is Shudras. Like that. All his, you know, administration, except for the ministers, they're all Shudras. Like that. All the office secretaries. You know, how do you run without them? They're all Shudras. All the servants, you know, you have a big palace, you gotta take care of. These are all servants. Thousands. So without them, you know, where's the big king? You know, big king sitting under a coconut tree. Okay, job. You know, nothing to wear because the Shudras didn't make any cloth. You know, nothing to cook in because the Shudras didn't make the pots. Right? Nothing to eat because the Vaishya could only plant a garden, you know, the size of this room that he could maintain, so he's feeding himself. He doesn't have Shudras to do more that he can trade with. You know? You know, it's like that. So they could get by. Kshatriyas can live also in an austere way. Brahmins can live in an austere way. They can pick up here and there, do this and that. But if you want to have prosperous social structure, then you have to have all the four. You have to have the Shudras. It means the general people that you say they're Shudras. Amongst those, some organize business, economic development, some organize administration, and some organize training. Like that. And then you have a social system. Like that. So each one needs the other. So you understand what is your position. Shudra is getting the work done, but he doesn't have the brains, so therefore why are the saris being sold? Because the Shudra is so expert at showing the saris. Right? Like that. But he's been trained by the Vaishya. Yeah. And he doesn't know how to get the capital and make the investment and all that. He knows how to sell them. Like that. So therefore, then they need each other. But because he's in the junior position, he respects the Vaishya. So he says sir to the Vaishya. Right? And then the Vaishya, without these people, he's not going to be prosperous. Therefore, he's very kind to them and takes care of their needs.
Mm. Their villages.
Yeah, so it just goes. The Kshatriya is without all these people. Where is he going to get the tax? How is he going to run? Therefore, he doesn't overtax them. Right? He doesn't make it too much or too little. If he takes too little, then he can't administrate. Then nobody will benefit. He can't maintain... and maintain administration, therefore no one will be protected. He can't tax too much, otherwise the people will be burdened, and then the people that he's supposed to take care of won't be satisfied. Their needs won't be met. Therefore, he sees like that. He always is collecting, he's putting away, because he's smart. Then if there's a failed crop or something, then he doesn't take tax, or he even gives them grains. Like this. And the Kshatriya knows he can't run without the direction of the Brahmins. Brahmins, they know all the Shastras, what should be done. They're not the ones doing it. The religion only gets established because the Kshatriyas do it. Therefore, each one naturally has a respect for everybody else. So that's religion. Someone older than you is respected. Someone wealthier than you, someone more intelligent than you, someone more influential than you, someone more famous than you. You know?
The key of this society is the women.
Yeah, the whole structure is the women. That's why you see, in the war, then Arjuna immediately talks about the women. But that doesn't mean that the women control everything. Like that. That's the problem in the Western thing. If you put anyone, you talk about them, immediately they come up and exploit. You give facility to the kids, immediately they come up and take over. You know, you give it to the women, immediately they come up and exploit. There's no difference. They're all chauvinists. Like that. Because that's the mentality of the jiva in the material world. So that can only be controlled by Dharma. Dharma's not there. Everyone will just exploit everyone else to the max. Without religion, there's no control. So therefore, it's just the modes of nature. Who's on top today? One day it's the men, next day it's the women, next day it's the kids. Right? Isn't it? Men were exploiting before, then the women get tired, they stand up for their rights, and then the kids get sick and tired of the women who don't care, and they stand up for their rights, and next it'll be the dogs will stand up for their rights. You know? And the cats, you know, enough of these dogs. And then the mice, these cats, you know. And then, you know, it just goes on. And it's just, therefore, the perfect system is everybody does their duty according to the way Krishna gave it, and everything's perfect.
What problem is that, Maharaj? Because you see, everyone is actually self-interested. They're only doing that So
in the Vedic system, that's driven in, it's profit and loss. If you perform these activities properly, then you will prosper. You will go to the heavenly planets. On this planet, you will enjoy. And if you are sinful, then sinful causes loss. Piety causes ekanam, artha, and kama, and sinful causes pain and hell. So based on that, that's why you see in the scriptures that they give all levels of phala shruti. It means at the end of a chapter or something, it will give the glories of that. You know, it'll talk about anyone who hears this then will, you know, develop pure love for Krishna. You know, like that. You know, but so that'll inspire those who have that interest. Then of, you know, kings, the Brahmins will become the best of the Brahmins, you know, it'll inspire those. The Kshatriyas will become emperors of the world, the Vaishya will become the king of the Vaishyas. And then Shudra will become a devotee. Like that. So it goes through and mentions what everybody will get for it. So those things then, everybody does something because of what they'll gain from it. An activity is done because activities give results. So no one acts, you know, even the sages, without having a result in mind. So depending upon the level of the result, so the perfect result is one wants to develop love for God. That's the prema pumarto mahan. That's the fifth. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. But the fifth is prema. So that is for the topmost, the swan-like persons. They do it because of that. Okay, I want to go back to Godhead, but I'm conditioned. In my conditioning, I study it, and according to the scriptures, I see that it is rightly situated as a grihastha, because I have these certain conditioned desires. Therefore, I will perform those particular duties according to Krishna's direction for Krishna's pleasure with knowledge of what's going on. I'm not in illusion that the woman's going to make me happy, the kids are going to be wonderful, the dog's going to always wag his tail. You know, I'm not in illusion. I know what it is. But the mind is still attracted there. So therefore, to cut that, I take all those externals and use them in Krishna's service. And this way I start turning it around to the internal. Like that. Therefore then, you know, you deal with the wife this way, the kids this way. You know, you deal with all the different things. Who you're working for, you have a boss, and you deal with them in the proper way. And because of all these things, then you're able to actually transcend. But if you don't do that, then you'll be bound by them. Guaranteed. All this talk, we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for the rules, but what are they chanting? Is that person, the person who said that, what are they doing all day? If they're sitting and chanting Hare Krishna all day, not worrying about their food, and then right, I offer my obeisances, I'll serve that person. But if they simply say that at the same time as in they dress like a Westerner, their house is like a Westerner, their food's like a Westerner, their desires like a Westerner, their endeavors are like a Westerner, then there's no meaning to what they said. Because then if somebody else acts differently, then they'll think that's weird. But if we just chant Hare Krishna, then what does it matter if someone is a fanatic Hare Krishna? Because we just chant. It doesn't matter. No, but my particular perception, that's right. Then that becomes useless. That becomes cheating. So for the devotee, then the goal should be that one wants to develop love for Krishna. And in that, then we know we have to become liberated from the material world, not entangled in it. Therefore, nishkam is accepted more than sakam. That doesn't mean that some people say, yeah, they're down on the grihasthas, this and that. No, but they don't know what a grihastha is. To say that means they're not understanding what is a grihastha, what is a devotee. Because we see Prabhupada in the purport to, in the story on Paranjana. And Paranjana becomes a woman, becomes Queen Bidarbi. And then she marries Maharaj Malayadwaj. Then they retire, gone to the forest, he does meditation, and he's moved on, he's died. In his meditation, he's left his body. So then she cries. And then Prabhupada goes back and forth between the spiritual master and disciple and husband and wife. And in there, then he mentions that the husband and wife engaged in Krishna consciousness, not for their own purposes, but for pleasing Krishna, they're actually they're paramahamsas. So therefore, in that they can come to the paramahamsa platform as grihasthas, if they're in that platform of nishkam. If they're sakam, then you know it's like about how you say, maybe a pleasant snowball's chance in hell that they're going to get anyway. But if they're nishkam, they can get all the way to the paramahamsa stage. But as sakam, they can't get past the kanistha stage. Never. Impossible. So, therefore, the devotees, that's why you see Prabhupada focus so much on we're not this body, we're soul, we're servant of Krishna. Because then that takes us right through all the coverings. We're not the body, gets rid of the gross. We're the soul, it takes us past the subtle. Then we're servant of Krishna. It takes us even past the polluted consciousness. It takes us right back to our original position. So it's just in those few words, it's taken one completely out. So when having that, then one sees, what is it? Duru not being informed, then we think that means we don't perform the duties. But one can perform the duty, okay, one takes care of his wife, okay, he sits there and listens to her, he buys her all kinds of things, and you know, speaks to her nicely because of his attachment. He wants sex, therefore he does all this stuff. That's one platform. Right? Another platform is, okay, it's his duty. You know, women require this and that, so therefore to please them, then he does these things. Right? That's a higher platform. That's gone from the sensual platform to the mental platform. But for the devotee, they try to situate themselves on the platform of the soul as the sadhaka. Which means that woman has this nature, man has this nature. Therefore, the man should deal with the woman in this way. But I'm not these things. I'm the soul. But being in this body and having the desires, right? You can still have the desire and understand you're not the body. Right? The desire is the soul, not the body. Body just has a natural needs because it's connected to the mind. But one understands that there is something beyond that. So therefore, he understands the nature of woman is this. Therefore, they require all these things, and I take care. I don't want to do that duty, don't get a woman. You know, kids need this. You don't want to do that, don't have kids. You don't want kids, don't have sex. You know, you just see the nature of it, and you can do it from the platform of soul. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching. Arjuna, we go into the Bhagavad Gita starting in the principles of religion. Like that. And then it takes it from religion, or the culture of the mind, the society of the mind, to the social system of the intelligence. Therefore, Buddha Yoga. It takes it to the next step. And that is for the purpose of getting to the next step, which is then described in the Bhagavatam, of relationship with Krishna. So he starts there. He starts on topmost human existence. You know, like this. Other religious principles starting lower. You know, don't kill, don't steal. Don't take your neighbor's wife. You know, don't take his, you know, donkey. Like that. You know, these kind of things are, you know, just, you're just trying to make them from anamoy into pranamoy. You know, get them from the sensual platform, at least to the extended sense gratification. At least recognize other people also have senses. But Gita starts beyond that, on the mental platform of the emotional platform, the whole religious duties and all that platform. Very highly human platform. And then that's rejected, it's not high enough. You kind of come to the platform of the soul. Someone on the platform of the soul, Arjuna, when he came to that platform, he did his duties on the battlefield better. The symptom is that someone who's on that platform will do his household duties, will do his other administrative better than someone who's not on that platform. Because he's not attached.
The duty is the same, whatever platform you're on?
Duty is the same. Until you get to the liberated stage. Then if you want to set example, then the duty is the same. And if you don't need to set example, you don't have to do anything here. Sukadeva Goswami does nothing here. He just wanders around. That is the modes of nature taken here.
They take care of the body.
Huh?
But he don't break the rules either.
No, but...
Sometimes.
But there's no rules on that platform. I mean, what's the rules for a rock? Or what's the rules for this table? This table has to follow what rules? No rules. Why? Because it's dead matter. So if the soul has separated himself from the dead matter, there's no rules. He's following the rules of the spiritual world. And his body is just another piece of matter like anything else. It has no rules.
In the sense of, for example, Kaur Kishore Das Babaji, he was almost like a Paramahansa stage. And when this particular man who was very envious of him was saying, I'm greater tapasi than you because I'm eating from a skull. Show me that you can eat from a skull. So he considered that he eating from the skull was abominable. I'm going to break the rules. Even though he was completely renounced, he will never touch the skull. So he was acting without following sannyasa.
Yeah, but these things are just, like, they're just not, you know, what's the big deal? Eat out of somebody's skull, so what?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Why a human skull? Let's go see the guy eat out of a dog's skull, you know? That's renounced, it's smaller, you know? The human skull's pretty big. You know, you can stick a lot of rice and dal in a human skull. Let's see him eat out of something else. You know? You know, get a rat skull, like, you know, that's, now we're talking.
Renounced,
yeah.
But the rest of society may criticize him for
that. That's why then, therefore, those who worry about that, therefore he's in our line as Acharya. So he set example. Right? Vamsidas, he didn't care. But he's not in our line as... He was on the transcendental platform. He'd speak to the deity. He had a parental rasa. He was compared like Sanatana Goswami. Talked directly to the deity. But he's not in the line of Acharyas, even though he's a great Paramahansa. Because he's not setting an example. Well, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj set example of how someone who is fully absorbed in chanting the holy name performs that service. Also Jagannath Das Babaji. Not that. Therefore, then they're acharya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur as a grihastha. He had 12 kids who sang. He was a district magistrate. You know, he had so much wealth and fame and everything. So, but you know, he'd spend all his time writing books and preaching. But he knew what to take care of. He knew what quality time meant. You know, that's the thing. Because if you want to know, there's certain key things in the grihastha ashram that are key. Those are done. Then in between, something's not done. It doesn't matter. With the modern, they pick the wrong thing. Quality time, we sit together and watch television. That's not quality time. Like that. You know? So it has to, one has to know what to hit where. You know? Like this, these lamps. You know, it means give oil. And it works. I could come along and say, well, why oil? Oh, it's just some oil. You know, like that. You know, why not give the mango juice, you know, that's much higher quality. But, you know, then you don't understand the nature of the fire. It won't burn. It may be better quality of something, but that's for eating, not for lamps. So unless you understand what is the nature of women, what is the nature of children, what is the nature of money, what is the nature of all, how are you going to run a household? He knew that. He ran it. Plus he spent all his time preaching and writing books. You know? Others spend quality time at home, their wife's off with someone else, the kids off next door smoking dope, you know, and like that, and you know, they're already on the third marriage. And you know, and this person is going to tell us about quality time and what's a grihastha.
Experienced.
Yeah, experienced. Yes, that's there, experienced. It's true. That's why the third marriage generally kind of works. They figured out, well, you do have to be a little bit nice with the ladies. So then it starts to work.
I said, you know what grihastha ashram is after the third child? Not the third one.
Yeah. But no, but now you can gain a third child without even, you know, without even having any children yourself. You've had one child, so you don't have the experience of what's grihastha life. And then that marriage breaks up, and then you marry another lady who already has two children, so automatically you have three children. So then you get the experience of three children.
And then you found it right the next time.
Yes, yeah, definitely the third marriage you'll get that together by that time.
Alright.
The whole thing is the material world is superficial, because it's just senses. Our whole perception of it and what's valuable and all that is simply senses. And then what the mind puts on it, that this is what's important. But whether that's important or not, that's something to be seen. Krishna says what's important. Like that. So therefore the whole material world is external. It is shallow. Therefore, they try to take it at least back to the mind in the Vedic culture. Because the mind is the pivot. You've come down from the spiritual into the mind. And then from the mind to the senses. So the Vedic tries to keep it on the platform of the mind, because then from there you can get it back to the platform of the soul. That's the whole key. Therefore, the Vedic culture is a culture of the mind. While non-Vedic cultures are cultures of the senses. Western culture is the culture of the senses. Vedic culture is the culture of the mind. Bhagavad Gita is the culture of intelligence. Then in Bhagavatam is the culture of rasa, the soul and God. It means Gita is the platform of the soul, but that's rasa, or prema. So this is the science. So one can choose what it is. So all of them are available at any time to make a statement that you know, times have changed. But changed where? You know? People still interact with each other if you go to Africa, go to South and Central America, go to Asia, you know, even Eastern Europe, you know. You know, even you know, all around the Mediterranean, Silesia, a couple of countries left. And then those few countries, they set the standard of the world, what's going on. I mean, of course, people follow them, but can they say that that's... And then in that, you take America. Which America? The North, the South, the West? The values of the Southerners is very different from the Northerners. Like that. The conservatives is very different from the liberals. You know, the old people is very different from the youth. So which America? What's changed?
Unfortunately, it's Hollywood America.
Hmm?
Unfortunately, it's Hollywood America, the ones who make the propaganda.
That's there, but we don't like to say that. But yes, it's the center of the universe, you don't know. Actually, they should call America New Naini Sharanya, right? The hub of the universe. Yeah, but that's the thing, is because they're very confident of what they have. And how? What do they get? They get it from their knowledge, is from the senses, from observation. They use their intelligence and all that, but it's all from observation. Pratyaksha. So it's sensual. So the whole culture is based on the senses. But the Vedic is based on Vedic authority. Therefore, they start off on the platform of the mind. From there, one may situate oneself on that platform above or below. But its focus is there. Well, the Western is focused on the senses. It's a fact because the senses can see it. It's a fact because the scientists, the psychologists have come up with it. They've observed. Right? Prabhupada's always said, what is the nature of man and woman? And devotees don't accept it. But you read, men are from Mars and women are from Venus, you know, and then they'll say, oh, here it is, see, all our answers are there. Prabhupada already said all that. What's important, you know, the soul going back to Godhead, death is important, right? That's not emergency, right? And it's not, you know, something happening right now. It's future, right? Is it? Quadrant two. Yeah, going back to God is quadrant two. That's where you're supposed to be focused. You know, that you got to go out and sell so many stickers to pay for your rent. That's quadrant one, you know.